You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Election edition.
Is it? Not now. No. Now we have a president. I'm assuming a new one?
We don't know.
We don't know.
We're in the past.
Okay, it is literally what? November 4th?
Yes.
So we have some information. Like, we don't know who yet exactly. But it's looking pretty solid. I'm going to be editing this like 3 days from now and crying.
We don't know.
Anyway.
We don't know in the past. Only you know in the future listening to this.
Can you come back and tell us who won?
Oh, yeah. I would actually like sleep a lot better tonight if you could do that.
Anyway, we should probably play the theme song. Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 21st season of Doctor Who, Frontios. It's not Frontios. I made sure that I was making gifs. I was like, I'm going to know how to pronounce this when we get to it. And I fucking forgot.
And then you fucked up.
It's definitely Frontios. No, Frontios. Frontios. It's Frontios.
Okay.
Right?
Are we sure it's not Frontios?
It's not O's. I know it's us. Frontios.
Are you okay?
It's a weird word. They rarely say it, by the way. It's just the name of the planet. And how often do you go around going, Earth? You don't.
I mean, I do.
Well, you're a weirdo. But anyway, Frontios, which consists of four episodes that aired from January 26th, 1984 to February 3rd, 1984.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden!
You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. I don't know, I think he also wants people to follow him on Twitter. E.M. Golden and stuff like that. He's everywhere. He honestly has like 30 fucking Twitter accounts. And Instagram accounts. He just keeps making
new ones. He
followed
me from another Instagram account yesterday.
Right?
And I was like, Matt, another one. Why?
And I don't even know what it is.
What is it for?
I know it's him. I know it's him. But I don't know what it's for.
Follow him on his many Instagram and Twitter accounts. We don't know all of them.
Check out all the fingers he's gotten pies. I don't know what he's doing. But I also want to give a shout out to our newest Patreon patron, I meant to mention a couple episodes ago, but life has been 2020. I actually thanked him twice for being a patron because I just forgot that I already thanked him. And then I was like, Patreon didn't tell me, but it had. So I thanked him twice on Patreon.
Well,
you're probably like, well, I'm not very memorable, I guess. But no, it's not you. It's me.
He's just very thanked.
Yes. So thank you, Stephen G. Evans. Hell, I may have even already said your name on this podcast. I don't know. I don't know what's going on anymore. It's been a rough couple of weeks.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do we need to start the podcast before you have a breakdown?
We probably do. But thank you, Stephen G. Evans, for being a Patreon patron. We appreciate it.
Okay. Yes, thank you. I'm not distracted because I'm trying to sneakily check election results.
What? I mean, leave it as a treat.
Leave it as a treat?
For finishing the podcast. You're like, oh, where did Nevada go?
All right.
Where did Pennsylvania go? It might not even be today.
It might not. I've seen...
I really wish it would be, though, because I'm tired.
I'm also getting jack all done. That's not true. I'm being super productive, and I'm a very productive and good employee.
Also, I just realized if people know that it is November 4th when we're recording this, they know how far behind I've gotten on making this podcast.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Life.
I think we've got to start all right, this let's podcast start, let's start. Before it's on.
Let's talk about Frontios. It's not Frontios. It's definitely not Frontios. As fun as that sounds, it's Frontios.
Frontios.
Frontios, episode one, which I have called Bombardment.
Okay.
Because they get bombarded a bunch.
Oh.
Spoilers.
Whoa, clever. Okay.
So we see some people mining. This includes a guy named Brazen. And a guy named Captain Revere, though I don't believe we learn either of their names in this thing. Maybe Revere's. Also, fun fact, I didn't know until making the GIFs and tidying up my notes for this episode who the hell this guy was. He comes back in episode 4, and I was like, who the fuck is that? It's actually a episode 3 cliffhanger, and you're supposed to go, oh no, it's that guy! And I was like, who? I don't remember this fellow. Anyway, we see some people mining. For rocks and shit, and then there's some, like, the ground starts going, caving in, and then an actual cave-in happens and traps this guy, Captain Revere, who we will eventually learn is the leader of this fucking column, this, like, group of humans.
Right.
Like, stuff lands on top of them, and like, oh, we gotta get him out, but then more stuff collapses or whatever, and then they look back, and he's gone. His body's just gone. We don't know what happened to it. I kind of missed that on the first go through.
Oh, really?
I just thought, oh, he's dead because stuff fell on him.
Because stuff fell on him.
I missed that he went missing.
But, like, because they show the Earth, like...
You can actually see something.
You can see it.
It's either a finger or, like, some sort of prop thing that they're using to try to make the dirt fall quicker.
Really?
Yeah. You can
see it
going.
I didn't notice it.
Like, up and down, like a whack-a-mole.
Because I was about to say, I thought it was pretty effective.
Other than the fact that you can see what's causing it.
Yeah.
So this guy disappears, and then this guy, Brazen, is like, ah, we got to cover this up. Don't tell anybody that you saw this. His whole role is to be grumpy.
Mm, one of those.
Though he turns out to be an okay guy in the long run, kind of. I don't know. He's kind of wishy-washy. Actually, that's one thing. Like, a lot of people in this serial sort of are kind of gray morally. I don't know. They like flip-flop back and forth. A lot. Are they a bad guy? Or are they a good guy? But kind of in a way that I find more interesting.
Yeah, it's not unmotivated.
It's not like, I don't know, like, oh, they're inconsistent. It's more like, nah, these are just people. So we cut to the TARDIS, where the Doctor is doing something, and Turlo is like, what the hell's going on? He just hears banging in another room. The Doctor pops his head in.
Do you know what's great, though, is I think Tegan is like, he just gets like this sometimes. So whatever is going on, like, the Doctor is in a state.
He just pops his head in and he goes, are you hat people by chance? And they're like, what? And I don't know why, because we're watching a sci-fi show. My brain just went,
Planet of the Hats.
Yeah, does he mean like literal hat people? No, he just means people who wear hats, not people who are hats. That's the headspace I was in when we watched this episode. But he has a hat stand. And he's, like, trying to figure out what to do with it.
Has that hat stand always been there?
Yeah. And spoilers, at the end of the episode, he gives it away. And I was, like, kind of sad. But in this scene, he mentions he has two of them. He's like, I could put them side by side. They'd be a pair. So there's still one in the TARDIS. Because I was going to be like, but if it shows up in the next serial, I'm going to be like, you got rid of it. But no, he has two.
Yeah, somebody wrote that, like, just in case.
Just in case. Because... I mean, honestly, it's really mostly just used to show that the TARDIS is falling over.
That is true. That is kind of a thing about this era, too, isn't it? About it being, like, very continuity heavy. So if we want to make the design choice to move the hat rack, we can't just do that. We have to have the Doctor be like, hey, I want to move this hat rack, and then make it a minor plot point.
Yeah. Though this is, like... The hat stand is, like, one of the best things about this serial.
That is fair.
What a weird thing to say, but that's what I love about Doctor Who. The hat stand literally becomes a plot point in a very fun way. But for now, they find out that they've gone too far into the future, and the TARDIS throws up some sort of, like, hey, you've gone too far thing. You've gone out... I believe it's that they have gone outside of the time span that Gallifreyans are allowed to go into. If they go past that time, they're, like, theoretically futzing with things that they don't have knowledge of.
That oughtn't be fussed with.
which I didn't fully catch that on the first go through, but I caught on my.
I don't think I did either, because I remember watching it and being like,
"He's never given a shit before."
Yeah, there's the doctor in the serial is very like, "We need to not interfere, or the Time Lords will be mad." And I was like, "Yeah, I know."
But
that's been the case this whole time, and you still did it.
I think it's because this time it's very specifically. Like, I mean, he does it in general a lot, but this time it's, like, a very specific, like, you cannot do this thing.
Basically a fixed point before we had that concept.
Yeah.
All right.
But basically, it's outside of the influence of Gallifreyans. Like, this is too far in the future. They don't know what's happening, so anything you do in this point would be affecting the course of history or some shit.
I honestly missed that, so I'm glad that you told me.
But he does know enough that they're in the Varuna system. And then he's like, oh, that's ironic or whatever. And he starts to say something. And then he's like, actually, I'm not going to say this because you don't need to know. You'll find out eventually, Tegan. And then, like, Turlo reads it off of the computer screen, the console, like, monitor. And he's like, Earth is fucked. And then the last survivors go to this planet.
Too, like, I feel like kind of gleefully to the point where the doctor has to be like, Turlo, shut up.
This has got to be at least the second or third time we've had the last group of humans. I feel like there's been like seven last group of humans.
I mean, there are multiple ships.
But I mean, the last group of humans who specifically left the Earth because of bad things.
Yeah.
Going to crash into the sun.
There are 7 billion people. I'm sure, like, seven sounds fine. Seven different groups?
Seven different the last groups?
Yeah.
The last remnants of the human race?
That tracks to me. You think all of them are going to go on one ship to the same place?
So you're saying there were, like, seven, and then they split up?
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know. Because wouldn't you want to, like, stick together to, like, bone?
No.
You got a bone. You got a bone, Tony.
There's a lot of people, though, is the thing. They've got plenty of people to bone.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, but we find out later that they're just straight up killing people. Or shooting at them, at least. So they're lowering the bone rate.
I mean, this group, yeah.
This group. Anyway. Brazen, the guy who's like, we gotta cover this up, has a scene where he further covers it up. Like, he closes off the room and says no one can go in there because the guy died in there and he said that he doesn't want anyone to go in there. But there's this other guy named Range who's like, he's this guy with glasses who's kind of a doctor or something, I guess. I don't know. He's like, what about all this research we've done and are continuing to do? We're just gonna, like, stop? And then he's like, yeah. So don't do anymore. And this guy Range is kind of upset about it. Then the TARDIS is pulled to the planet in a meteorite storm. Like, gravity pulls them down. Like, some people get injured and the doctor immediately goes to help them. And they take them inside this sort of bunker area. The doctor immediately just sort of takes charge and is like, I'm the doctor. I'm here to help. And I guess I am interfering. And that's where he meets Range. He also meets his daughter, Norna, who looks the most 80s. She has a very 80s haircut. But the doctor's like, it's dark in here. I can't see what I'm doing.
He's really concerned about the lights, which the lighting is like cool, like glow-in-the-dark goo, which is great. Literally, Turlo tries to make it brighter by shaking it like it's a glow stick.
And then I was like, what? Hey.
Because it's not a glow stick, it's explosive.
It's a phosphor lamp is what they call it.
I thought those were neat, and I want one.
From what I read in something, I was like just like Googling this, and there's like bloopers, and you can see in some shots where they're plugged in.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, but it is very cool. It's like a futuristic glow stick. You break it and you shake it up.
So, like, the doctor's there and he's going to help medically, like, treat people.
But he puts on his doctor specs.
Yeah, they're great. I love them.
They're like half circles, right?
I want to get some. He spends the majority of this episode, though, just trying to get lights in that room. I mean, not even this episode. I think this serial.
I think it's mostly just this episode. Maybe a little bit of the next episode.
It felt very long.
Too long.
Yes.
He's like, I don't care about the person I'm trying to save. I just want to see.
I just can't see anything.
He sends Turlo to go get supplies from the TARDIS. And he's like, can you get this? Oh, and this? Oh, and this? Oh, and this? And Turlo's like, anything else? And he's like, Yes, Tegan go with him and help him. And they go to try to get stuff from the TARDIS, but they go inside the TARDIS and they're trying to go into the door that goes deeper into the TARDIS, and they can't get it open.
Stuck.
Tegan says it's stuck, and then Turlo goes, "It's not. It's something else."
Like, that does happen. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
It's something else.
He doesn't say what, and it's clearly, it's just stuck. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing that, like, implies that it's anything else other than Turlo saying that.
Also, it's not locked.
No. Yeah, that would be fine. I don't think she says it's locked, and he's like, it's not locked. It's something else. She says it's stuck, and he says it's not. It's something else. I'm
even
pretty
sure. Even if he had been like, it's not, it's locked. It's something else is so weirdly vague.
Well, I think that, I don't even think that it's locked. It's that it's about to do some funky gravity shit, because something happens to the TARDIS at the end of this episode. But it's like, I don't know. It's a weird phrasing.
It's not. It's something else.
So they head back. Well, meanwhile, the Doctor gets sort of exposition from Range, who's like, they say meteorites at the beginning of the episode. But then, like, from that point on, everyone's like, it's missiles. And then later there's a reveal where it's like, it's not missiles, it's meteorites. And it's like, you said that at the beginning of the episode, so I don't know. So they think they're being attacked from someone. They don't know who. They just know that they're being attacked for some reason. And the Doctor finds a generator and gets very excited about it, because maybe we can get some light from this generator. They cut away and they cut back, and he pops his head up. He's like, very interesting from behind the generator with his half specs on. Meanwhile, Brazen, grumpy guy, goes and tells Plantagenet that people have arrived and it might be an invasion. Like, the people that are attacking us might have finally shown up to personally, you know? He thinks that's, like, the Doctor in them. We meet him, and he's, like, sitting in front of, like, this big face on a wall. And I thought it was his own face, but it's not. It's the guy who died.
Oh, I thought it was his face, too. Man, I'm... And I did a bad job watching this serial.
To be fair, he is his son.
Okay.
So the guy that disappeared in the mine, that's Revere. His face is actually everywhere. There's, like, posters of him all over the place. And, like, there's that giant fucking head. But Plantagenet is his son, and he took over once his dad disappeared. / died.
He looks like somebody.
He is famous. I don't remember from what. He's been in, like, a bunch of stuff. Mostly British stuff, I think. But he was also in an episode of Sarah Jane Adventures.
Oh.
He played a museum curator, I believe, in the Mona Lisa episode. Like, one of the few Sarah Jane episodes that I distinctly remember, because it's weird. But I also like his name, Plantagenet, though for the longest time, I thought his name was Kupu. Everybody's wearing, like, uniforms.
Badges. Yeah.
And they have, like, those, like, little stripes and stuff. But, like, his look like letters, and it looked like K-U-P-U or R-U-P-U. I'm not even sure. That probably means something, and people are yelling at us. Like,
when you.
Well, yeah, they're yelling at me. But it looked like K-U-P-U. So in my notes, I just put Kupu, like, a lot. And then I was like, who's this Plantagenet guy that I keep talking about? That dude's got a cool-ass name. Oh, shit. Maybe his name is Kupu Plantagenet. Probably not.
Sure.
Anyway, he's been informed that the Doctor has arrived and he might be an evil invader. Range continues to tell about, like, how they crash landed on this planet, because he's, like, talking about the generator, and he's like, oh yes, failure proof technology. And the Doctor's like, what happened to it? And he's like, it failed. This serial has a lot of good dialogue.
You know what else this serial does a really good job of?
The Doctor?
Yeah, just letting the Fifth Doctor be the Fifth Doctor. He's so good in this serial in a way that is, like, annoying and surprising at the end here.
He's very proactive in a way that he hasn't been.
And it's good. It's great. He's funny and the Doctor.
A little mischievous here and there, too.
Yeah.
There's something he does later with Tegan that's hilarious and interesting.
Why haven't we been this the whole time?
I don't know. I'm glad he's here now that we've got, like, three more serials.
Yeah.
I mean, I've liked 5 this whole time.
Yeah.
But there are times where I'm like, he's barely here.
He's there are some serials he's not.
Why do people just rev their engines?
Does it do something?
Podcast listeners, what does revving your motorcycle engine do?
Is it necessary in any way?
We're just going to talk over this rumbling thing. I apologize for the audio.
Did I say that He's been good, but he's usually very passive. Yeah. Like, sometimes you forget that he's in a serial.
And that's bad, considering he's the title character.
This serial, the Doctor, feels like the title character in a way he doesn't always.
Yeah, it'd be like at the end of a serial, someone would say, the Doctor? Who?
Oh.
They really took the title of the show maybe a little too seriously this era. Maybe in a bad direction.
Maybe.
But not in this serial. This serial is good. Turlough and Tegan show back up and they're like, hey, we can't get into the TARDIS. And he's like, whatever. He actually says, like, did you get this thing? And they're like, no, it's behind the door we said we could not open. Are you listening? And then he's like, well, we need light. And he starts shaking the lamp. And Turlough's like, you told me not to do that. He's like, yeah, but what else are we going to do? I think he's like, we should just like run some juice through it. So not only does he want to shake it up, he wants to put some electricity into it. This explosive thing. So Tegan, Turlough, and Norna are going to go look for something to boost the lights. Norna has an idea of where there might be some stuff on the colony ship that crashed. They go outside and Tegan and Turlough have to hide because Planet Janet pops out. And Norna goes up and is like, hey, can I get some supplies? But Brazen is with him and he's like, rah, rah, rah. But Planet Janet himself is kind of like, yeah, get some supplies. What's
this whole thing is weird because they go, but they're like sneaking around.
They're being followed by Brazen, kind of. They're not like after them. They're just like, boop, ba doop, ba doop, doop. Walking around.
It's like they go to get batteries, right?
Yeah, they're like the Doctor said, let's run some juice through this thing. So that's kind of what they're getting is juice for the generator. They're going to fix the generator, I think.
Yeah, they have this whole conversation about like, this is the thing that we're going to do. But then they get to there and they're sneaking around. They get to like where the battery is kept and they are like dodging people.
And then like at the end, they're just like, oh yeah, fine. Just put it in there. Like, they don't,
well,
they get caught.
They bring it back, and they do. They get caught once they bring it back, and there's, like, a fight about it of, like, they stole this battery. And I was like, no, they didn't steal it. We're gonna use it. And then, like, it seems like there's gonna be a fight, and then they just end up taking the battery to the generator. And yeah. That's it.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. I don't entirely understand it. But yeah, they get followed by Brazen. Like, he hears a sound, and he's like, we need to investigate that sound. Because I'm the noise police. I believe I'm just straight up stealing Chris Terry's jokes from the live stream. And then meanwhile, the range continues to give the Doctor exposition and says that they crash landed. There was peace for like 10 years and they just stored up food and stuff. Then that's when the bombardment started after 10 years of nothing. That was 30 years ago. So it's been 40 years since they crash landed and they've been bombed for 30 years. And then he's like, but like invaders they've never really shown up. So we don't know who it is. And then Planet Janet pops in and is like, or maybe it's the Doctor. And then the Doctor gets very angry at him and is like, nah, fuck you. Like I'm here to help. This place is run like so poorly and shittily. If you're in charge of all this, then you suck. He gets like really angry.
I mean, to be fair, they are just killing their own people all the time.
Because we eventually learn about retrogrades or rets, who are people who are like tired of this shit. And they run off into the desert to like fend for themselves. But if they get caught running away, they just get shot. Yes. Which, why? They're not hurting anybody.
Deserters.
I guess. Anyway.
I'm not saying it's fine. I'm saying like, it's a thing.
Well, it's. I just don't understand people.
I mean, fair.
Yes, Turlough, Tegan, and Norna sneak into this room. They find a jar of battery acid, I guess. And then there's this weird thing where they...
with the pulley.
The pulley. They put in a little pulley to pull... Like, part of this may just be that Tegan and Norna are very bad at miming how heavy this thing is. Like, it doesn't seem that heavy.
No.
But also, like, the platform that they're trying to get it up to
is not that high up. It seems very much like they could have just handed it. Like, somebody could have been on the ground and somebody could have been up on the platform and they could have just handed it off.
Right. They could have just put it on the platform and then got up there
and continued to carry it. It's not just that they use the pulley. It's that, like, the pulley takes so long to use.
Turlough's pulling it up and bumps into the, like, handrail. Spilling some of it, and it burns a hole in the floor, so you can see how dangerous this is. Could have just put it up there by carrying it, and it would have been fine. They get it out, and their exit is blocked by guards who are sitting down and having some food. They get food brought by a guy named Cockerel, who feels like he's supposed to be important, but doesn't really wind up doing much.
Yeah.
I think his role got rewritten a bit. I don't even know how to explain Cockerel. We'll get to more of him. Like, this scene is supposed to establish that he's, like, helping out the people by, like, bringing them food when they're not supposed to have food and stuff. But it's boring, so I'm moving on. To get past them, though, they lower the acid over the side of the ship. On the outside, with another pulley system? The same pulley system? I guess they must have lowered a rope, and Tegan went down first, and then they lowered down the acid.
Yes.
That must have been what happened. And then, like, a guard catches them. He's like, hey, what are you doing there? And then the rope slips, and the fucking acid just hits the guard in the side of the face. Not the acid. The container. He doesn't get burnt.
Yeah.
He's actually fine.
He does get smashed into.
He gets knocked out, and they pick him up, and they're carrying him back to the, like, medical area. But while this is all happening, Brazen has informed Plantagenet that he's spotted the doctor's people on board the colony ship. So this doesn't look good for the doctor, though. They think, like, his TARDIS may be, like, a warship or whatever. He's like, I'll just give you a tour of it to prove it's as offensive as a chicken vol-a-vent. I don't know if I pronounced that right.
Almost certainly not.
I don't even know what it means. I assume it's some sort of French chicken dish.
I'm going to Google it. Why not? We have access to the technology.
You Google it. I can't. My H key isn't working. My laptop, I tried to fit the battery's not charging, and I tried to fix it by taking the battery out and putting it back in, but instead I just fucked up the keyboard in addition to the battery not working. I'm going to get a new laptop.
Oh.
What is it?
It looks like a biscuit.
Ooh.
With chicken in it. It's like a puff pastry.
That doesn't sound offensive at all. But they go outside and the sky is getting dark. And they're like, that usually is the sign of an oncoming bombardment. And they're like, oh, don't worry about it, Doctor. We would have heard from the warnsman. And then Turlo, Tegan, and Norna show up with the guard they knocked unconscious, who is the warnsman.
Oops.
But yeah, this is also when they had the battery, and they're like, what are you doing with that? And like, oh, we're plugging it up in the medical bay. And they're like, oh, okay, go ahead.
Why did they sneak around so much?
I don't know. And then the bombardment begins again, and they're ducking away, trying to hide from, you know, all the shit that's falling down around them. Including, we see a scene where Plantagenet holds his chest, and Brazen's like, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. But he's not. He got hit with something. Then the doctor's like, you know what? There's some chaos happening right now. Let's just get the fuck out of here. Let's get back to the TARDIS and go. And they go to where the TARDIS was, and all that remains is the fucking hat stand. And the doctor's like, the TARDIS is destroyed. And that is the end of episode one.
He says it a little too nonchalantly.
Oh, the TARDIS is destroyed.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Nothing you can do, really. It's gone. So that is the end of episode one. We are now into episode two, which I've called The Hungry Earth, Deaths Unaccountable. They are immediately surrounded. The doctor tries to talk to them and stuff. And they're like, well, what? Why are they even attacking? What could they be attacking for? And he's like, well, they probably want the elements that we're digging for. What elements are you digging for? And he's like, I don't know, but it must be valuable. They're bombing us for it. I'm like, how do you know that they're bombing us for it? Because we're digging up the elements.
A little circular.
And then the doctor says that he wants to study the elements and stuff that they've been digging up, see what maybe is going on. And then he says, you can either help me or kill me. And then Plantagenet goes, kill him.
And the doctor just says, that wasn't what I had in mind at all.
To stop this assassination from happening, Turlo grabs the hat stand and he pulls it up and it sparks. And, like, Norna's like, what's that about? The doctor's like, oh, it's probably just residual energy from the TARDIS. But they're like, that must be the thing that brings down the bombardment. Turlo just continues to threaten people with the hat stand.
He's wielding it against people menacingly. It's so good.
And they eventually use that, the threatening with the hat stand, to go to the research room to ask about the meteorites. Meanwhile, Tegan has left with Range to, I don't know, help people, I guess. She's continuing to help people who've been hurt by the bombardment. There's a scene where the guy grabs her ankle and asks for water. It was very creepily shot.
Yes, it was.
I think it was supposed to be like, oh, she's helping people and stuff. But it's like, don't just grab her leg. Rude. Use your words. And she also gets some of the exposition about retrogrades that we've already talked about. So they go to the research room. Someone sneaks Plantagenet a pipe, like a pipe wrench or something. It's like a big metal thing. And he goes to hit Turlo with it. And Turlo turns around with the hat stand before Plantagenet can swing down. He clutches his chest and falls down. And Turlo's like, oh, fuck.
Didn't know it was loaded.
I didn't realize this was actually a thing. And the doctor's like, calm down. Let me just check this guy out. And they pull his shirt open and see that he has like a hole in his chest from the bombardment. So it's not the hat stand. Something fucks up with the battery and Range goes to like fix it. And Tegan sees a file in a drawer that says deaths unaccountable written on it. And then she's like, look, what does that mean? And then she hears Range behind her, so she shoves it back into the drawer real quick.
But then once she closes it, it kind of locks.
Yeah, and she turns around and sees that they're still fiddling with it, and she's like, oh, I have more time to snoop. Turns back around and it's locked. But she already saw a thing, so now she's very intrigued. But she's trying to break it open, and while she's trying to break it open, she gets caught by Range. He's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I saw this death's unaccountable thing. And he's like, well, forget about it. Forget it. While they're sort of arguing, I think Tegan was like setting up the lights with like the electricity and stuff and the generator and whatnot.
Yes.
The doctor comes in and says, take them down. And she's like, I just put them up. And he's like, well, I'm telling you, take them down. Because they come in with Plantagenet, who's been hurt. Basically, the doctor's going to take these wires to defibrillate. Or is it just fibrillate?
No, it's defibrillate.
They're going to shock his heart. And then he basically saves his life. Meanwhile,
he still wakes up and is like, the doctor's evil. And like the guy who's there who watched him, like who watched the doctor save him was like, he just saved you. But yeah, he might be evil.
Brazen?
Yeah.
We didn't say, but Norna and Turlo stayed behind at the research room to figure out what's going on with the meteorites so that they can bond and do exposition. And she talks about how there used to be underground shelters, but Revere put an end to it. Well, she never found out a reason why, but when she asked why, she was like a kid.
She's little.
She was on his knee, and he said, the earth was hungry. She also mentions the quarry was shut down as well as the underground shelters and stuff, and he's like, but, like, there's rock samples from the quarry that are recent. You said it was all shut down, though. He's like, what does that mean? I'm not working at all. I'm just fucking around this thing. Because, like, she's, like, working on doing scientific samples, and Turlo's just like, fucking around with other shit. She like calls him out on it at one point. He's like, no, I'm doing important shit too. He figures out that the pulley from earlier was a clue.
Here's my favorite thing about this scene is like the way he figures it out is he's like, what's this pulley for? And she's like, for moving equipment. And he's like, there's nothing heavy enough in this room to justify using a pulley on it.
Then why the fuck did you move that battery earlier?
He literally says it. He's like, there's nothing, absolutely nothing in this room that would justify using this pulley. Therefore, it must be for something else. Even though they used it earlier to move equipment.
By all accounts, it makes no sense.
But he does figure out that there's like a plate in the floor and he lifts it up and there's a place to hook the hook.
Pulley. The hook.
There's a place to hook the pulley and basically pulls open the quarry.
The where they were mining earlier that's been closed off. The doctor sort of makes up with Plantagenet. He's like, well, we're going to go to the research room and figure out what's up with this meteorite, me and Range. And Plantagenet very creepily is like, well, I get to keep Tegan. Like, that's only fair. Like, I get one of your people, you get one of mine. So we'd like keep each other in check. But the way he says it is so like, I keep the woman.
Yeah.
It is very disturbing. I don't know if it was meant to be, but it reads that way to me. So Turlo and Norna go underground. Turlo's like, this seems very familiar. Like the patterns on the walls and stuff, or the walls are very smooth. He's like, something about this is like, just seems familiar. I don't know what it is. And he like starts trying to leave as well. And like, she's like, come on, just stop being a baby. Come on. Meanwhile, Tegan slips up about deaths unaccountable with Brazen, and Brazen gets very grumpy about it and is like, oh shit, Range was like spreading rumors and shit.
I don't fully understand what happens here.
I think what it is that Range was covering up deaths for people. That's what the deaths unaccountable are about. Because he was covering up there's the cover-up of Captain Revere's death and stuff. When Tegan brings it up, Brazen thinks that Range has been spreading rumors, which is causing people to leave the retrogrades. And that's why he's getting upset.
Because they both seem suspicious that the other one...
is doing it?
Is doing the cover-up. So at the end of it, I was like, wait.
Well, Brazen definitely did a cover-up. And Range suspects a cover-up. But doesn't
deaths.
Isn't doing anything.
But who...
Yeah, that's why he has a thing that says death's unaccountable. He doesn't know why they're dead.
Yeah, I know that. But then later... Okay, so like Brazen is the one who like interrogates him about it later. Who's like, you were covering up these deaths. Why?
No, he doesn't say you were covering up the deaths. I don't think Brazen says that. He's more worried about like that Range is like spreading word to like cause dissent. Because that is what's happening. People are, like, leaving. He specifically gets into a fight with Cockerel because he's, like, looting and stuff. So it's not that... I mean, Brazen's the one doing the cover-ups. But he's doing it for, like, the good of the people or whatever, so he thinks. But he thinks that Range is, like spreading rumors and stuff.
There's just, like, a scene where, like, he's interrogating them, him. And he goes from interrogating him to just, like, working together. And I don't understand why. And I thought the implication was that he was, like, you had this information and you didn't share it with us. And he was, like, right. I didn't share it with you because there was... He does. He says that, like, he... Range covered it up.
I don't remember. It might be in my notes. We'll see. Okay. We're not to that interrogation yet. I think that's in episode 3. We'll find out when we get there. But while Brazen is getting angry with Tegan and stuff about this slip-up she had, Planet Jennet just starts acting very weird. And he, like, flops out of his cot.
I can't tell if it's silly or dramatic.
It's silly to begin with. And then it becomes fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Because he gets eaten by the ground. Like, part of that effect is, like, very... I didn't like it. Because, like, he's just, like, on the ground, like, help, help. And then, like, the dirt starts sliding up his face. And yeah. His head's, like, going under. Then they do a, like, shitty, like, crossfade.
I was going to say, then eventually they're like, and then, there's just static. And let's pretend that the static is dirt. Okay.
That doesn't work as well. But when, like, he's half buried.
That's awful.
Don't like that. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Range get to the research room, find the tunnel, and they go in. They're in the tunnel, and Turlo and Norna are in the tunnel. There's a scene with Turlo and Norna walk into this room with, like, all these, like, black ball things everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And there's, like, two, looks like wall features.
And they touch them.
They walk, yeah, and they, like,
they
walk
touch
past
them. And Turlo's like, oh, they're smooth, like glass. That's weird.
He keeps wanting to leave, and she's like, well, I'm going on. And he's like, wait up for me. And then he leaves. And then those things fucking turn around.
They turn around!
And they're just great big bug boys.
I think both of us lost our minds.
I think so, too.
When they turned around, we were both genuinely shocked. it was a creature, and they touched it, and they didn't even know!
They are called tractators.
They are great.
Mm-hmm. I like them a lot.
I spent so much of the thing being like, they're not bad because they're shaped like friends. And if they were bad, why would they be shaped like friends?
They do jump to, like, they're evil pretty quickly. But they're evil.
But they are actually evil.
Well, the tractators aren't. By themselves, they're just normal old grub boys, we find out way later on. Oh, wait. Okay, so first the Doctor goes in, then Range follows up. And he's like, I told you to wait outside. And he's like, my daughter might be in here. And then the Doctor says, a risk shared is a risk doubled, which is a joke. This is the third time they've referenced this fucking...
which is a joke that we understand now.
Third time they've, like, played on this proverb? What would you call that? But yeah, I'd never heard this phrase until Doctor Who. And now... I've heard it 3 times, and it's only because of Doctor Who. Stuff's going weird in the, like, medical area. Tegan grabs the, like, electricity wires that they shocked Planet Jennet with, and she shoots at Brazen and then runs out, puts a bar through the door handle so they can't get out, and then she runs out, and she sees that, well, because also Cockerel and a bunch of people came in at one point, and they're like, get out, go back to work. They're like, we think something's up with our leader, and you're trying to cover it up.
They think that he's died.
Yeah, because they think that he's died, which is be their second leader to have died. They just start looting.
Like, immediately. There's a scene where they're like, I don't remember which one of them is saying it, but it's like, they're starting to think that he died. And if they think that he died, then the whole society is going to collapse. And I was like, wait, Really?
Yeah, and then like Janet says that.
Yeah, and then like the next scene is like people just like
fucking looting.
Looting and like leaving and stuff, and it's like, boy, this place was hanging on by a thread. It was like 5 seconds that they all thought this guy might be dead.
The people in this serial that aren't main characters react to things so quickly.
So quickly.
They switch on a fucking dime. But Tegan sees the looting and then she wanders to the research room and finds the tunnel, and she goes into the tunnel as well. Turlo has also at some point said tractators. He's like, tractators. Tractators. What does that word mean? The doctor and Range go, wait, do you hear something? Because Tegan comes in and I presume the doctor hears her. He's like, do you hear something? And then you just hear, ah! And then Turlo runs in, just fucking freaked the fuck out, grabs the doctor, and it's just like, tractators, tractators.
Broken. He is absolutely broken. And he spends, I think, the rest of this episode,
like, mostly catatonic.
Just being broken.
The rest of this episode and quite a chunk of the next episode.
Yeah. Can I say, this episode's almost over. And this might be shocking from me, I think this is a very good Turlo episode.
No, I think so too. He actually has an arc.
He has an arc. He has shit to do before he kind of like remembers. He's like trying to remember and he's like, it's something from my home planet. And I was kind of like, yes, tell me more.
Interesting.
What's your deal, Turlo? And this is like the closest that we've gotten to figuring out what his deal is. But yeah, it's a very good serial for him and the doctor.
He does that thing too that I feel like a lot of actors do when they're, quote, acting, which is like he spits a lot. I feel like some actors just do that to be like, we're being real, and they just spit for no reason.
Yeah.
They get very angry and just spittle happens. Or in this situation, he's very like freaked out and he's just got spit coming out of his mouth. I don't know how often people just spit like that. I'm now very aware of the spit in my mouth.
Ew, why would you say that?
Sorry. So the doctor leaves Range with Turlo and goes to see what's going on. And I believe Range is like, don't leave. I don't know who. Hey.
Don't leave me with Turlo.
I don't know who this is. And then Tegan shows up and finds Range. And then she's like, oh, I got to find the doctor. And leaves him with Turlo. And he's like, somebody stop leaving me with this kid. I don't know who he is. This 40-year-old kid? This age indeterminate person?
It's a 40-year-old high school student.
Then we see that there's a bunch of tractators, and they have Norna in this bright pink beam of light, and she's frozen in place. They're just sort of standing around. They're not doing anything. They're just standing there putting a beam on her. And then the doctor wanders in and sees it. He's like, oh, that's what a tractator is. Tegan pops up too and he's like, hide. But the doctor gets caught and pulled into the pink beam as well. He gets a beam put on him and he gets dragged over next to Norna. And that's the end of episode 2. And we're now to episode 3, which I have called The Gravity of the Situation.
Oh. You sure have.
I feel like you conveyed like 3 emotions with that one O. It lasted for like so long.
What were the 3 emotions?
I don't know. I think you were just doing your typical O, and then you're like, wait a minute, no, not that O. And then a third thing. I don't know. Disappointment, maybe.
Definitely.
It was your original O, then I'm like, wait, no, I don't need to use that O, and then I'm like, oh, this O.
I don't understand what you're saying, but okay.
So Tegan throws the phosphor lamp at him. It explodes and they all go and scatter away. Brazen finally breaks out of the room that Tegan locked him in. Then Norna and Tegan run out, find Range and Turlo. And then Tegan's like, well, I'm going to go back for the doctor. And then Range is like, I'm going to go with you. I want to get away from this boy. And then Norna is left with Turlo. Like every single one of them is like, hey, don't leave me with Turlo. Like it doesn't feel like a joke. But that it happens so constantly, it kind of feels like a joke.
Yeah, I don't know if it was written as one, but it does feel like it was played as one.
That actually is something that happens a lot in this serial. I mean, it specifically happens to Turlo in this one a lot. But there's a lot of like, we're going in. Oh, wait, I'm going back. Wait, I'm going further in. I'm going back for, like, there's a lot of like that. Because like, there's a scene where like Turlo goes into the caves later and then he's like, that he meets up with the people that he's following. Like, oh, I gotta go back because you left Norna.
It's three times where, like, they're
bouncing back and forth.
They're, like, in the... Is it the mines that they're exploring? And, like, three times, like, in a row, they all say, I'm going on. And the other one's like, no, don't. It's too dangerous. One after the other. And I think the third time is the most dramatic.
There's a lot of, like, just talking about who's going where. Because, like, I mean, at the beginning of this, Turlo and Norna go in.
Yeah.
Then the Doctor and Range show up, and the Doctor's like, I'm going in, you stay here. Then the Doctor goes in, and then Range follows him. He's like, I told you to stay behind. He's like, no, I'm going with you. Then they bump into Turlo, and then the Doctor's like, I'm going on, you stay here with Turlo. And then Tegan shows up, and she's like, you stay here, I'm going with Turlo, I'm going after the Doctor. And then they come back, and then they're like, wait, I'm going back to see the Doctor, you stay here. It's just like, fucking pick one.
I don't want to gloss over this either, by the way. Turlo's acting his face off.
Like, literally. It's just goop is coming out of him. He's the goo this time. Actually, no, we said the acid was the goo this cereal.
Yes.
That pours out. Because I don't know if we mentioned, it's bright fucking green.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you call something a glow stick.
Glow sticks come in many colors.
Yeah, but if you, like, picture a glow stick in your head right now.
It's green.
It's green.
Or blue.
Okay.
But mostly green. The Doctor's hiding behind this big, black, spiky ball thing, and the Tractators are pulling it away from him.
With the pink beam.
And he's like, no, don't take it. And he's like, unless, if I give it a little spin, because I know Cricket. And he's like, this bit's not filmed well.
I was going to say, this, in the script, probably seemed great.
Seemed very cool.
In the execution is a little wobbly.
He spins the ball at him, and it very slowly rolls into him, and they go, ugh. They don't, it doesn't even knock him over.
No.
And it, like, the Doctor falls down, and he's, like, sitting on his ass, and he's like, how was that? And he throws his arms out like a big triumphant thing. But it's after just this, like...
It nudged them. A little bit, and he's way too pleased with himself.
And then he immediately gets caught. Like, he's running away, and then he gets caught in another pink beam, and Tegan comes to help him, but then she gets caught. And then Range shows up, and they're like, Range, leave! God, just stop telling us where people are going! They're being dragged by the gravity thing. Tegan's like, Doctor, think of something. And he's like, I'm thinking of a lot of things, but none of them seem to fit the gravity of the situation.
Oh.
And then they get dragged. Which when they're being dragged, it's just like they're going down a slide and they're just like, wee. It actually looked kind of fun. They're being slowly dragged along this floor. They eventually free themselves by, the Doctor has another lamp that he throws and they get out from there. Turlo starts saying stuff and they're like, it's an ancestral memory. It's something to do with his race of people from his home planet that he's accessing it. I don't even know if it's like something he's personally had experience with.
Yeah, it's not ever made clear
if it's him personally or if it's like his ancestors,
if it's something like from the past, because it was definitely something that it didn't seem like he was aware of. Like, it's not until he kind of gets in this state that he, like, starts to remember things.
This whole time, they just, like, keep walking further out of the mines, and occasionally Turlo go, wait a second, a thing. And, like, he doesn't actually say a whole lot of useful shit. Just like, they're bad! Oh, God, they're really bad! Oh, God! The ground has an appetite! There's one shot where he says that. And then it just holds on a very long shot of them staring at him. And him just standing there looking zonked. The camera doesn't zoom in on him or anything. It's just like, the earth has an appetite! And then it cuts to the next scene.
They do hold on that shot for a little too long.
Unintentionally comedic.
Again, Turlo is doing a good job in these scenes. You feel for him, which is impressive because normally he kind of just gets on my nerves.
It's fun to have him at least doing something. Meanwhile, Cockerel, who I don't think we said he's an orderly, and I don't really know what that is or remember.
I think it's like police.
Okay. He's caught looting by Brazen, and he's like, I'm a retrograde. What of it? Stuff sucks.
Everybody's dead anyway.
And they're like, well, we're taking you away. And then they go outside, and then he's just like, you know what? Fuck it. You can leave. Run away if you want to. And then for some reason...
A mob attacks him?
Yeah, is it because he's a cop?
I think the idea is that not just that he's a cop, but, like, he has resources. Like, he looted a bunch of stuff.
So they're wanting his stuff.
And it's food, mostly, I think. So, yeah, I think the idea is that it's, like, there's a big group of them, and he's new, and they're gonna beat him up and take his food.
They beat the shit out of him. I thought they killed him. They cut to a shot later of him just laying on the ground, and there's, like, blood just pouring out of his nose. I was like, I guess he's dead. But then he's not dead. Because he starts moving when the ground starts trying to eat him.
He's going
to
get eaten up. Nom, nom, nom.
And he, like, holds out his hand. He's like, help me, to the retrogrades that are there. And they just stand there and watch. It's disturbing. I hated this scene, like, in a good way.
Yeah?
I thought it was, like, legitimately creepy. I don't know. I'm very claustrophobic, so being eaten by the ground seems fucking terrifying to me.
Have you ever watched, like, Buried Alive episodes of things?
Yeah, and I don't like them.
Wasn't there that one? What was it? It's one of those letters crime shows.
CSI? The Quentin Tarantino episode of CSI.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I think about it all the goddamn time.
It's a good one. Okay. Leverage did it, too.
They did!
Okay, so while this is happening, Brazen catches range. Who cares? There's a great scene where the doctor and Tegan are just sort of like roaming around trying to figure their way out. And he's like, we'll figure this out when we get back. Get back! And she's like, I heard you the first time. He's like, no, get back.
That's a solid joke.
And then the doctor's like, because there's a tractator there. And the doctor's like, I have an idea. And he pulls out a cricket ball. But then, like, the tractator immediately sees that he's doing something and comes for him. He's like, oh, shit, never mind, run. But because they got the tractator's attention, he was the one pulling Cockerel through the ground. So he just stands up. He's like, oh, fuck, I'm free, and stands up. And then immediately the retrogrades are like, this man is clearly the Messiah.
The ground tried to eat him and then it didn't. He'll save us all.
What? Like, they literally so quickly are like, yeah, this is our man. And he becomes their, like, leader.
There's definitely, like, a plot point with him cut out, right? Like,
I think so. Because, like, there's stuff that happens with him and it's like, feels like it's building to something. And then just fucking... nothing happens.
Like, did they have to cut his part or something?
I read something about it. Like, there are some rewrites or something. But yeah, it goes nowhere.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's setting up for more of, like, a this guy's in charge of all this band of people, and they've got their own plot going on, and no.
So yeah, Range is taken away and interrogated in that room with the big head on the wall. And it says, my note says he is interrogated about collecting records and keeping secrets. I think that is what he's doing. He's like, you've been collecting dirt on us and you've been, like, spreading rumors and stuff. That's what I think he's saying.
Okay, but he is the one who has been covering up the deaths. Not Range, the other guy.
Oh, yes, Brazen. Range hasn't been, because, like, later Brazen comes clean about covering up Revere. What happens is, like, talking about, like, people being eaten by the earth, and, like, Turlo starts, like, rambling stuff, and Brazen gets, like, super, like, tell me more about it, tell me, and, like, Range is like, leave him alone. He's clearly...
going through some shit.
Going through... he's in a traumatic state right now. Don't need to, like, push him, and then, like, yeah, but he's got information. And then, like, Turlo says some stuff about the earth eating people. Well, Brazen says, you know, says something like, we've seen people being eaten. And then, like, Range says, well, to be clear, they have, we haven't. Me and you haven't seen it with our own eyes. That's what he says. We've seen it with our own eyes. And he's like, well, we haven't. And then Brazen's like, well, actually, about that, I have seen it happen. And then he tells them about Revere. And they're like, well, we saw the body. And he's like, didn't see its face. It wasn't a real, we put another corpse there. We didn't want to worry the people or whatever, because we didn't know what happened to him.
Okay, I think the thing that just, like, confuses me is, like, this interrogation just kind of ends?
Yeah, like, there's a woman there, like, over it, and then she's just not in the scene anymore. Like, they're talking to, like, this, like, councilwoman or whatever, but then they just huddle up in their own little, like, what's Turlo saying thing, and it stops being this, like, courtroom scene.
Yeah, once Turlo kind of starts giving this, like, information, it's like, oh, actually, yeah, the earth is eating people. I saw it. What are we gonna do to stop it? And then it just, like, they start working together again immediately after this.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
I think that's part of what had me, like, so confused.
I didn't even realize, but I'm pretty sure the woman in that scene just
stops being in it.
Stops existing at a point. I only remember her because I thought she was kind of attractive.
Man, this is gonna be one of those episodes where we spend the whole episode complaining about it, and then I'm going to get to my final thoughts and be like,
it's good.
This one's great.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's a fun serial and it does a lot of good things, but there's also some things that are like,
the plot doesn't super hold up to examination.
Yeah.
But that is also not necessary for it to be a good serial, in my opinion.
They're like, well, it ate Planet Janet then too. And then they're like, well, he might not be dead. They need bodies alive for some reason. But we also see, we finally see where the Tractator's lair is, and it's fucking beautiful. And there's just like this big hamster ball that has a guy in it that we can't see at first until after Turlo says they need bodies alive, and then we see that it's Planet Janet. We see the head Tractator, and you can tell that he's slightly different.
He's got a nose.
He's got a nose.
That's how you know he's the leader.
He's the only one who can smell things out.
Sure.
And he's the only one that talks. And basically, he talks Planet Janet and is like, we're going to win and stuff. And we're going to replace our old driver, whatever that means. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Tegan are wandering around. The Doctor is just talking about how technologically advanced these bugs are. Then they hear a machine drilling. And they're like, must be the drilling machine. Because Turlo said Planet Janet might be alive, they decide, Brazen and Range decide to do a rescue mission. They're going to do it without Turlo because they're like, he's in no shape to go down.
Sure.
And like, there's a sort of scene where like Turlo's like, yeah, I wouldn't be any good down there anyway. And
because I think he's at this point a lot more cognizant.
Yeah, he clears up basically in that scene where he's like, they need bodies, so he might be alive. Like, he's kind of came out of it, at least somewhat. He's still a little bit kind of shaken, but. And definitely doesn't want to go back down.
But, I mean, he was, like, completely gone before. Like, you couldn't...
I think he does do a nice job of sort of tapering it off.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like it's...
Abrupt?
Abrupt. Like, it's like, ah, we need Turlo to be back for this scene. It all makes sense. I think...
He gets it out.
Yeah, there's specifically a point where there's, like, something that he's trying really hard to remember. And he's like, I can't do it. And they're like, do it. And then he does. And then... He, like, slowly comes back after that.
After he does his sort of word vomit.
Yeah. Which, not the worst way to drop some exposition.
I liked it. I mean, it gives him something to do. Like, there's so many times where it's just exposition and I'm just like, what? Because they're just people talking. But, like, if you tie it to something...
At the very least, it's dramatic as hell.
Like, I mean, Farscape would do this all the time. Where just, like, people would... To get exposition across, they just have people throw people into a wall. Be like, rah, 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 and yelling at them. And, like, that's more, like, interesting. It's more dynamic. So, we cut back to we see the Doctor and Tegan sort of sneaking around. Tegan has this line of, like, this is ridiculous. Running around like rabbits, if you ask me. And the Doctor says, no one is, Tegan. So, shush.
It's one of those times where the Doctor says something rude. Sometimes you're like, what the fuck? And sometimes you're like...
That's funny.
Yes! Yeah, sometimes you're like, oh man, you're luckier you because you can get away with that. And I think like that distinction is like the difference between like a well-written Doctor. Because when it's too rude, you're like, oof.
I would worry that it seems kind of, I don't know, maybe sexist or something. But he shushes Turlo later in the last episode.
Yeah.
So... He's an equal opportunity shusher. But we cut back and Range and Brazen have gone down and they're taking men down. And then there's a really good scene where Turlo's like at the edge of the doorway into the mine pit. And he's like staring down into it. Norna says, it's okay. No one expects you to go down there.
Like you've just had this hugely traumatic experience.
And he's like, of course no one expects me to go back. I'm Turlo.
It's such a good scene. Like, he says that, and you're like, oh, damn.
That's very sad.
It's sad. And also, like, he's struggling with it. Like, he wants to do the right thing.
I think this is a better moment than the Enlightenment moment.
Even. Oh, easy, yeah. Because it's doing what Enlightenment wanted to do. Like, it actually feels like he's making this choice. And it's particularly put him in a position where it's like, it would be super understandable if he didn't.
And it's like... When he threw the thing away in Enlightenment, it was like, well, that's the only thing you could do. And it doesn't, like, harm him in any way, really. But this thing that he's about to do is dangerous.
Yeah.
It's him making an active choice to do something brave.
And it's him standing... I mean, and it takes him, like, a minute to make that decision. He's not just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be brave. Like, he struggles with it.
And then he does it in the most dramatic way possible. I think he learned it from the Doctor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because he shoves out his hands, and he's like, pick one. And Norna picks one, and it's got a coin in it. And he's like, it's some good luck thing. You blow through it for luck. And then he's like, I'm going down there. And then he's like, fate has decided. And then she shakes his other hand, and it has a coin in it, too.
Also has a coin in it. I love it.
It's like, very good.
It's very clearly him, like, mirroring the Doctor, which is fantastic. Like, in the moment where he's choosing to be brave. That's so good.
We cut back to the Doctor and Tegan. They hear the machine coming for them, and they run off. And they run directly into the lair of the Tractators. Well, I don't think it's like the lair with the big ball. It's just like there's a whole bunch of Tractators there. And the Doctor says, it's a bit of a problem, this, Tegan.
Dialogue this season. This serial.
Yeah. And then we see the machine. There's just a dead person.
It's
connected to the machine.
Upsetting. And I guess it's some like Uncanny Valley shit happening. Because it's, what is it? Is it like a wax?
No, it's just a person.
It's a person? I thought it was like a
no, it's
wax
a person.
Head.
It's an actor.
Well, then why does he look so dead?
Because he's good at acting.
Oh my God.
He's just like, I mean, he's not doing anything because he's dead. Yeah. He's just like blankly staring. And then they're like, that face looks familiar. And I'm like, it's Captain Revere. And I was like, who?
Well, not only that, but you were like, they don't know who that is. No. They've never seen him.
Not true. There's posters everywhere.
There's posters everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it even maybe got pointed out to him at one point. Like, this was the guy who ran things and then he died. But yeah, it's the guy who disappeared at the beginning of episode one. Like, in the fucking teaser, basically. How the hell am I supposed to remember this guy? Because those pictures of him everywhere are, like, red and blue. Because they're, like, political.
Yeah, they're highly stylized.
So, like, I don't remember this fucker. Even, like, after they kind of explain who it is, I'm like, I don't know who that is. Because, like, they're talking about him in that previous scene where they're like, we hid the body and stuff. And I was like, I didn't know who the fuck they were. Kind of didn't really know who they were talking about, exactly. I didn't realize he was the leader of the planet or whatever. Right. Like, I only pieced all this stuff together on my second go-through. So, but that's the end of episode 3. We're now into the last episode, episode 4, which I have called For the Want of a TARDIS.
Oh.
Which I think is a great title. I don't know what you think. Do you know it's a reference to, right? For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of the horse. Like, you keep going, and then basically a whole war was lost because of a want for a horseshoe nail. You never heard that poem before?
Nope.
It's a good poem.
Okay.
Like, it's basically like one small thing caused a whole thing to, like, collapse.
I gotcha.
So that's why For the Want of a TARDIS, there's a character in this episode who wants a TARDIS, and it fucks him over.
I did not realize that you had put that much thought into...
I put that much thought into all of my episodes. That's not true. That's not true at all. A stonewalled malice. So, the Doctor introduces himself to the Gravis. He's like, I'm the Doctor. What's up? Who are you? He's like, I'm the Gravis.
You can tell. I got a nose.
Gravis sort of basically is like, oh, you're a Time Lord? Oh, man. I fucking want a TARDIS. I want a TARDIS so bad. They're so cool. And the Doctor is like, the Doctor starts seeming to side with him and just like chit-chatting and like, yeah. Because he's like, did the Time Lord send you to like check up on me or whatever? And he's like, no, we're cool. Just like, just stopping by to say hi. We're buds. And he seems to be on his side. And Tegan's like, what the fuck, Doctor? Because he's like, you have a TARDIS? And I think Tegan says something like, I don't remember what. She says something.
She says not anymore. And the Doctor's like, shh.
Not anymore than a normal Time Lord has. And then she's like, what's happening? Meanwhile, there's this whole thing where Norna is like the only one who hasn't gone down. She gets attacked by a guard. Which he's like coming down on that like slightly elevated platform. And she, like, pulls him off and throws him down. Then she goes to check and see if he's okay or alive. And then he grabs her. And then later, Cockerel comes and saves her from that guard. But then Cockerel, he's like, we're going to go down there and do bad shit. I don't know. And then she's like, don't do that. They're going to save this guy and you're going to mess it up. And then he's like, take her and tie her up. So he saved her and then ties her up.
Yep.
This plot doesn't work for me. They should have just cut Cockerel and the looters all together, maybe? It doesn't add much.
Yeah.
But Tegan is put in a beam, pink beam, and the Doctor's like, oh, I'm so sorry about her. Usually they work so well, these robots. I think it must have something to do with like the moisture in the air. I don't know. It's like affecting. It doesn't do this on Gallifrey. Gravis is like, oh, it's a robot? It looks really good. And he's like, really? I got it really cheap. Like, you can tell by the walk and that accent.
I love Tegan's reaction to this. Because I think at this point, she's like caught on that the Doctor's doing a thing. But she's still like, I'm going to remember that later.
He's taking this opportunity to just fucking roast her. So rude. But then the Gravis is like, well, basically what we're going to do is this guy in the machine who's dead, we've used him up. So we're going to replace him with this new improved model, his son, Planet Janet. Oh, and this is at the point also where Turlough catches up with Brazen and Range, who have gotten fucking lost, by the way. And then Turlough shows up and he's like, I know where to go. And then Range is like, wait, you're here? Did you leave Norna alone? That's my daughter.
So he goes back.
He goes back. The doctor examines the machine because they've taken Revere out. He's like, how is this? This looks pretty neat. I wonder how well it worked. And like little like electrical tendril bits sticking out of the machine just grab onto his neck. And he's like, oh, worked really good then. Like pulls it off. The doctor's basically just talking to them and sneakily getting information from them. Like the tractators control gravity and they cause the bombardment and the initial crash. They caused the ship to crash, and then they kind of, like, studied them for a while. Man, and then to keep them there, started doing the
That's a crazy long con.
40 years?
Like, who has that kind of patience?
To be fair, we find out what the actual plan is. I guess it takes a while to drill that far.
I guess. I don't know. It didn't seem to take the Daleks that long.
Yeah, let's go ahead and say what the plan is. They're going to drive the planet. It's been done before.
Well, it's been done before.
I mean, this plot's been done before.
Yeah.
It's not a terribly original plot, but that's what the machine is also for. They need Planet Janet to drive the planet. Is that something?
It feels like it might be something.
I don't know. They connect Planet Janet to the machine, and the doctor sort of leans in and is like, trust me, I'm trying to help you. He's like, it doesn't look like it.
Right. He's like, you can start anytime now.
He's like, when I tell you to do something, do it. And he's like, when do you plan on doing that? And he's like, that's a question I was asking myself. Meanwhile, Turlough tries to save Tegan, gets caught by one of the tractators, gets dragged out into the open, and then like all the other guys, Brazen and all his men, come in and just beat the shit out of the tractators. And Tegan's like, what the fuck, Turlough? We had a plan going on and you've, like, ruined it. And he's like, I saved you. Come on. I did this whole cute thing with some coins.
I was brave.
I had some character development and now you're just getting on to me. So they go to find the doctor. And then the doctor figures out that the tunnels, the way that they've been dug and why the walls are so smooth and shit, has something to do with it's like some sort of wave thing. It concentrates gravity. This is all part of the, like, driving the planet bullshit. Or it makes the gravity a better weapon or some shit.
It's not super important because it's not like the math checks out anyway. Yeah. There are tunnels. The tunnels are important to make the gravity make the planet go.
So everyone storms in and tries to free Planet Janet. Gravis comes for the doctor and the doctor shoots him with the electricity from the machine. And like the Gravis falls down and the other tractators just also fall down.
Serial is just, how many Doctor Who episodes does it take to change a light bulb?
A little bit. The answer is 3.
Yeah.
Okay, so I told you Norna got tied up. She gets a knife and drags a knife with her feet and then unties herself. Again, this plot goes nowhere. I don't even know why I'm mentioning it. But it is she is kind of badass. She just grabs a knife with her feet and starts cutting her ropes. Like, and then she goes in and says, don't go down there again. Like, why didn't they already go down there? What are they still hanging around for? I don't know. This plot's boring. Let's get back to the good one. So they free Planet Janet. They're like, we need to get out of here. But like, Turlough is like drawn to the machine.
Yeah. They're getting ready to leave and Turlough walks towards it.
To be fair, I think Gravis woke up a little bit. Maybe Gravis was pushing him there? I don't know. I don't entirely... Is it part of his ancestral memory thing? I'm not entirely certain why Turlough's drawn by it.
Unclear.
But it kind of feels like he's 100% responsible for what happens next because of this.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah.
Because they go and they grab him and try to pull him back. And Brazen runs over and tries to pull him away. And in the process, because like he's trying to push his way back towards the machine. And he winds up shoving Brazen into the machine. Into it. And then the doctor's like, give me your hand. I'll get you out of it. And he's just like, go. That's an order. Then like a little thing starts coming down over him as he screams in pain. and the camera pushes past him so you can't see him anymore, and they run and get out of there. And then I think the machine explodes. I'm not certain why.
It's just too much for it.
I guess so. Maybe the doctor butts with some stuff. Cockerel says he will be the next Plantagenet, and Norna comes in with her ropes and throws them off, and she says, "You don't have to be." Like, I don't know. Why do I keep mentioning this plot that's boring?
I mean, it all tracks, at least. Like,
yeah.
He was going to take over, but then he didn't have to. He thought, like, he was going to because I thought this guy was dead, but he's not dead. I don't know. I don't know why this plot isn't as strong as the rest of the serial.
So, everybody's together and run away. They sort of piece together that they're trying to drive a planet, that they're making a gravity motor. That's what the walls and all that shit's about. But they're going to need a new driver. And then they hear somebody like being attacked and they're like, oh shit, we gotta go for him. And like Tegan runs after him and like gets split up from him. And she's wandering around and she can't find anything. But then she sees a TARDIS wall. And then she's like, the TARDIS. And then she wanders around and sees another TARDIS wall further away. She's like, well, bits of it at least. And then Gravis shows up and is coming for her.
This is great.
It's very atmospheric and nice.
Because they are kind of like inside the TARDIS.
Oh yeah. When I say TARDIS wall, I don't mean the outside of the TARDIS. Yeah. I mean the roundels and shit.
And so it just, there's enough of it to feel like they're in the council room, but it's just spread out.
Yeah.
Well, everywhere.
That scene specifically, yeah. Like, it's like they're on that bit's on the inside, like, when they go further into the TARDIS, and then she opens a door, and then goes in, and it is just the console room, but with rocks put up.
Yeah.
that room is clearly just the console room with, like, rocks put on
it. But the idea is that it's, like,
all over the place, right?
Yeah.
But the console room itself is somewhat self-contained.
On account of it's the only set they got.
Yeah, and they need the console itself for plot reasons. So she slips in there and shuts the door behind her. Then some more exposition. Tarlo remembered some more shit. Gravis is the only evil one. Without his influence, they all just become dormant. Like, Gravis will just become completely dormant, and the other ones will just be, like, regular bugs. So the Tractators are under his influence. So they just gotta separate the two of them. And the doctor says he has a plan that will work. Or it won't. So he's like, everybody get under the console, hide. I'm going to do a thing. So they all hide under the console. I'm pretty sure they would be seen.
No.
Okay. So the doctor pops his head out to negotiate a surrender. And they're like, no. And he's like, all right, well, listen, just you can have this planet. It's fine. We don't want it. The Time Lords don't want it. Yeah. The Time Lords don't want it. You can have it. It's fine. I'm just going to pack up my TARDIS and go. And the door opens by itself, by the way. The TARDIS door. And just reveals the TARDIS console. And there's like a zoom in on it. While Gravis is like, TARDIS, I want it so bad. And then it goes in there and the doctor's like, what? No, take anything but my TARDIS. And he's like explaining that like he parked it this way because it was, he just like bullshit something like, it's spread out to save energy because of the time slip envelope. I don't know. It's very clear he's making it up.
Yes.
He just like pulls him in and he's like, well, all right, I'll give you a brief tour of the TARDIS since you wouldn't want this anyway. It's an old Type 40 TARDIS. And he's like, you wouldn't want it. He's like, oh, but I do, Doctor. I do. And then he's like, well, you wouldn't be able to pull it together anyway. Right? And then he's like, bullshit. And then just starts pulling the TARDIS together. And all the rocks start disappearing. And
question.
Yeah.
Do you think the Doctor didn't know how to fix it?
Yes.
Fantastic.
So like stuff starts shaking and he's pulling it together, I guess, with his gravity powers. It looks like he's dancing. I love it. But this is there's a point where like Tarlo pops his head up from under the TARDIS and is like, what is he doing? And the Doctor goes, shh, don't interrupt him, and pushes his head back down. That's where he shushes Tarlo.
Equal opportunity shushing.
There's a small scene where like it cuts back to Range and Norna, and like, because Range has popped out and says, we're all doomed. And then from that point on, Cockerel just fucking disappears. So who gives a shit about him? But like stuff starts shaking and Range goes, this is it. This is the end. And Norna goes, or maybe it's the beginning. Based on nothing.
It's just a neat thing to say.
But the Gravis pulls the TARDIS together. which pulls it back into its own dimension, which separates him from the tractators.
Okay. I got confused because I was like, were they in a different dimension? But then I was like, no, that's just how the TARDIS
works. That's how the TARDIS works.
Got it.
So he like collapses onto the console. All the other bugs just go about their buggy business.
Now they're just little bugs.
The Gravis like literally lands with his mouth on the console. It's like on the corner of the console, his mouth is. And they're like, well, what do we do with this thing? Is like, is he bad? He's like, oh, he's fine. We just got to take him somewhere and drop him off. Everybody leaves the TARDIS, but the Doctor leaves and drops him off somewhere so that he can go have Big Finish adventures. Literally, they have squeezed shit in here.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it on the TARDIS wiki. Everybody's just gathered around the hat stand outside, waiting for the Doctor to come back. And then Tarlo's like, just need to put a console room around this thing. And the Doctor shows back up and they're like, the Doctor gifts them the hat stand. And then they're like, that's all cool and stuff, but don't you want to stay and hang around? And he's like, no, I want to go. And they're like, but you know, thank you. You've helped so much. And he's like, don't mention it. And then they're like, really? Don't mention it at all. And then they TARDIS out. And there's just a shot where like Planigenic grabs the hat stand lovingly. Fucking love it. And then
good choice.
Inside the TARDIS, they've TARDIS away, and then the TARDIS starts shaking and they're like, is it the Gravis? Is it gravity again? And like the Doctor's like, no, it's something much stronger. We're being pulled to the middle of the universe. Cliffhanger. But that's Terminus.
We did it already.
We did the middle. Wait, is the middle different than the center?
Yes.
Or are we just going back to Terminus?
We're just gonna repeat Terminus next week.
I wonder. I have no idea what it could be. Certainly couldn't be Daleks, right?
Nope.
That's the next episode. But that's it. That's the end of Frontius. I said it right that time. We're gonna take
Frontios.
God damn it! No, it's Frontius. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for final thoughts.
Forgive the interruption.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Kylan.
Hey, I'm Eric, and we are
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Mighty Marvel Geeks is your award-winning show about all things Marvel, with news, rumors, commentary, and interviews covering movies, comics, and all points in between.
We'll also have our recommendations on what to pick up each week on New Comic Book Day, as well as a weekly pick from Marvel Unlimited.
Find us online at MightyMarvelGeeks.net.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your favorite podcast.
That's Mighty Marvel Geeks. And remember,
we
are
Groot.
And we're back. Tony, do you know what time it is?
It's time for final thoughts.
Oh, thank God.
I'm so tired.
Final thoughts.
Yeah, like I said earlier, this is gonna be one of those ones where like we spend the whole time kind of complaining about it and then get to the end and be like, this one was so much fun. Because while it doesn't super hold up to any kind of like inspection, the plot kind of falls apart. It's a fun watch. The Doctor is great in it. Frustratingly, for like what feels like the first time. I mean, not the first time, but the first time in probably a while. It's a great Turlo episode, which is crazy. Like, I think that's another character that a lot of the times, the last couple of episodes, Turlo's just been in it. And they almost, like, forget to give him stuff to do. I think, how many serials have we been like, Turlo just kind of wanders around until the serial's over and doesn't do anything. So, good for both of them. The dialogue's really good. It's got jokes, which is,
proper, like, solid jokes.
Yeah. Which is something we don't have a lot of, I think, specifically in this era. So, when we do get them, it's like, oh, great. Somebody made Doctor Who funny. Good. But, like, I don't have a lot to say beyond that, because there's just not actually that much to this one. It's the characters are good. They're fun to watch. That's it. And that's okay.
Yeah, I agree. Talking through it and like rewatching it and figuring out what was going on. I'm like, yeah, a lot of this doesn't hold up. Again, the Cockerel plot line should have been dropped entirely.
It definitely feels to me like that is something that
was a remnant.
Yes. Something happened between drafts.
Like, he's just not involved in the climax at all. Like, he keeps like, we're gonna go do this thing, and then he doesn't do anything. It just kind of falls apart. That's the worst part of the serial for me, is the Cockerel stuff, because it doesn't go anywhere. Everything else though is pretty good. I even like the side characters. I think Range is really adorable. I think Norna's kind of badass and awesome. I fucking love the design of the Tractators. I love the Gravis.
Oh, yeah.
I even like how they, like, trick him into, like, defeating himself. I like that. The Doctor is so good this serial.
Yes.
And, like, just a little shit. And I love when the Doctor is a little shit. He's basically walking around like some kind of used car salesman or something. I don't know. It's great. Just like the second like he's with the Tractators and just putting on this like persona is so good. Like when he arrives there and just sort of takes charge is so good. And we also get to see the brainy specs, which are good. But he's good. Turlough's really good. He has an arc, which is fun. He gets to act. He gets to do that whole like in shock and then have that nice I'm Turlough moment. Tegan's really good too. She doesn't.
Yeah. We didn't talk about it as much, but you're right.
I think it's partially because she's kind of tied into the less interesting plot line for most of it. But she does really well, and she gets some good stuff. But yeah, she does have a plot herself. She's not just there. So yeah, it's really good for all the core cast. So, and like you said, it's funny. There's a lot of good jokes. Most of it's the Doctor like, well, oh shit.
It's always solid.
That did not go how I wanted it to. This is a bit of a problem. That sort of stuff.
I think that particularly works really well with like Five, with like a Doctor who's less cocky, yeah, less bombastic. So like when he tries to be and is immediately undercut, he's like, yeah, okay.
There is that one time he's very cocky and then it doesn't work out right, but it was just badly filmed with that fucking big ass ball.
Yeah.
But I will say the real hero of this story, the real standout for me.
Okay.
Is that fucking hat stand.
It's love true. That hat stand. That was such a good choice. Like that whole scene where he's threatening. I mean, like, it's a dramatic scene that is goofy the whole time. That's so much fun.
To me, that's Doctor Who.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, you also have that, like, this touching moment where they leave and the guy is, like, fondling this hat stand. Like, I'll always remember you, Doctor. He doesn't know what the fuck a hat stand is. Like, it's just a relic now. That's great.
They fucking worship that thing. Yeah. You know they do. It's in a museum somewhere. Yeah. But, yeah. I like this one. I thought it was fun. Before we go, is there anything we need to plug?
Please watch The Unseen World. Within the next month or so, you will start seeing episodes of season 2. Please watch them. I think they're very good.
You can see them on watchheartlandtv.com or the Heartland Network app on your Roku.
Also, if you wanted to give us a follow on Facebook,
See Unseen World.
Yeah, See Unseen, or Instagram or Twitter.
That's SEE, not the letter C.
I don't really update the Twitter a lot, but maybe we will in the future. For now, mostly like the place to look for updates and stuff is the Facebook. So See Unseen World. There's been some talks about me kind of releasing some more like behind the scenes sort of videos on the Facebook. I need to actually wrap this season and then I will start on that. But if you follow now, you'll be able to see it when it comes out.
I'll just say read Road Trippy. Buy Road Trippy on Amazon. And also watch my new short film, My Two Clones, which has gone up. You can check that out at mintypineapple.com or youtube.com/AlohaJoe. My Two Clones. It's sure to give you nightmares. And if you like this episode of the podcast, you can check out more on watchyourassline.com. And if you'd like to help us out, you can become a Patreon patron at patreon.com/watchathon. Or you can find our Amazon wish list at watchyourassline.com/support, and you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing a DVD or a Blu-ray for us. We'll mention you on the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Golden! You can check him out at matthewgolden.net. And I want to give a special shout out again to Stephen G. Evans, our newest Patreon patron. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
And I want to give one final special shout out to Vincent E.L. for providing us with our amazing theme song.
Thank you, Vince.
Check out more of their music at vincentel.bandcamp.com. And tune in next time when we talk about Resurrection of the Daleks,
ooh,
which is a two-parter. And I was excited about that until I found out they are double-length episodes.
It's a
fucking sneaky four-parter. How dare it?
I don't know.
But we will have returning guests Ashley Rayburn and Lainey Lex Terminate Henderson, our Dalek expert. And our Ice Warrior expert. Why is he there? Until next time, keep calm. Wrestle on.
Goodbye, and I love you in a platonic, parasocial way.
Frontios?
Frontios.
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 Sure.
The end. The end of Frontios.
Or the beginning, Father.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.